Okay, good morning, everyone. This week's shiur in Masechta Sukkah, the weekly shiur in Masechta Sukkah, is sponsored by Yitz Weiss CPA. Branch out in a new direction next tax season. And breakfast, as always, is sponsored by Begelman, Shlui Nishma, Sfega Bas Chaim, and Shuma Ben Zev. We're doing Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel today. We're going to start four lines from the bottom on Lamed Beis at the Tana Rabbanan at the end of the line. We're going to start by just doing a little bit of cleanup from the Mishnah, and then we're going to jump into a brand new sugya, an exciting, interesting sugya of Dichui, which will take us on Amud Beis, Amud Aleph, and then we'll take a little break, and then we'll get back into it on Amud Beis. But first, let's do the cleanup from the Mishnah. So Tana Rabbanan, we've been talking about the qualifications for Hadassim, whether they can be stolen. It said they can't be stolen, they can't be dried out. They have to have bunches of three, as we said, or at least three leaves in a bunch. That was some of the qualifications, and we're picking up on that. Tana Rabbanan, Nashru Rov Olav, V'nishtayru Bo Miut. Let's say in your Hadassim, most of the leaves came off, but a few remained. A Miut of the leaves, a minority of the leaves remained. Kasher, the Hadassim are still Kasher, Ubavad Shetayavuto Kayemes, as long as its bunches or its leafy nature is still intact. So the Gemara immediately jumps on that and says that seems to be self-contradictory. Hagufa kashya. Amriz nashru rov olav kashya. First this brisa said that if the majority of the leaves come off, it's kosher. V'hadar tani, and then it said, v'vach te'avuto kayemes, and then it said that's only true if it's still leafy. So how can it be leafy still? How can it be like bunches of leaves, if rove of the leaves came off? It's not going to be leafy anymore. We said there has to be at least bundles of three leaves at each bud. So the Gemara says, or it continues the question, if the rove of it fell off, right, if two of the three came off, so then how could it still be leafy in the sense that it qualifies with bunches of three leaves? What's going on? So I'm Rabbi, Mishkachas la ba'asa Matzra'a, that the instance where this could be true is with a specific type of hadas, a hadas matzra'a. Rashi has two opinions as what that means. Either it means that it's a type of hadas that grows on the edge of the field. So since it has extra room to grow, it grows in abundance and grows extra leaves and is very, very, very leafy to start out with. And Rashi's second opinion is that it's talking about a specific type of Egyptian asa, as asa mitzra. So it's either mitzar is in the edge, or mitzar is in mitzri. But in any event, it's asa mitzra. Dekaimi shiva shiva bechad kina, which its characteristic is it has bunches of seven leaves. If you can imagine, you know, our hadassim have three leaves coming out of each bud. This has seven leaves coming out of each bud. It's just very leafy, and therefore dechinatri arba pashulotlasa. Even if rove olav come off, even if out of each bud the majority of its leaves, meaning four of the leaves come off, you're still left with three leaves and it's still kosher. That's the instance that this brisa was referring to. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, well, now that we just mentioned an asa mitzra in this context, so shma mina hay asa mitzra kosher loshana. Abaye says, apparently, an asa mitzra, whichever one it is, whether it's the Egyptian hadassim or the hadassim that grew at the edge of the field, they appear to be kosher for arba minim, because we just said that we were talking about an asa mitzra in this context. So Gemara says, pshita, why would you think they're not kosher? It's a type of hadassim. So Gemara says, ma'u detema, you might have thought, ho'el v'islei shem levai lo miskasher. So you might have thought that since it has a different type of name, meaning it's not referred to as Hadassim, it's referred to as Asa Mitzra. So since it's a different species, it has a different name to this specific type of a branch of this type of tree, so therefore it wouldn't be kosher. Kamash Milan, and the Abaye is coming to teach you, and this Bryce is coming to teach you that in fact it is kosher as Hadassim. Even though its name is slightly different. Gemara says, Ve'im hachinami. Actually, maybe that's true. It does have a different name, so therefore it's not considered the same species. So maybe, in fact, it's not kosher for the arba minim. The Gemara says, no. When the Torah specified hadassim, it specified it broadly. Eitz avos amar achmana mikol makom. the Torah said an eitz avos, a leafy branch, and it referred to that leafy branch, generally speaking. It didn't say specifically this specific type of myrtle branch. It said eitz avos, mikol makom, anyone, anything that qualifies, anything that's similar works, and therefore this atzra, this asa mitzra, is in fact kosher, even though it has a slightly different name. And then finally, we just have one more cleanup on this. Braisa Tana Rabbanan Yavshu Rov Alav. Let's say the majority of the leaves dried out. V'nisharu bo shlosha bade olin lachin. And you have remaining there three buds of leaves that are still moist, that have not dried out yet. Rashi points out three buds. When I say bud, like each offshoot of the branch is just a little bud. That's how I think of it. It's probably a better name for it. And then of each of those has three leaves coming out. So Rashi says that's the case, that each of the three buds coming out of the leaf itself has three leaves coming out of them.
So it's talking about the three stems that you need.
No, it's talking about out of each, correct. It's talking about what qualifies for each stem.
Each
one has three little buds coming out with three leaves coming out of those buds. So you have at least, I guess, nine leaves on your stick.
Like next gen, so to speak. Next generation. In other words, it's like the grandchildren or the children of like the core three leaves.
I guess so. There are lots of levels of three here.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good. No, that's right. No, it's true. It's true. It's three. You're right. Fine. That's what Rashi's saying here. Essentially, you're right. The three buds, three leaves each bud. So, and if that's the case, kasher, says the Gemara. V'amar Rav Chista uvarosh kol echad v'echad. Rashi says that at the good leaves, meaning the ones that are not dried out, have to be towards the top rather than in the middle. Rashi says aval be'em tzum lav hadar, who it's not considered hadar, it's not considered beautiful, and therefore that's what you need. Fine, that's as far as the technical requirements of these hadasim, and now we're going to get into a halachic discussion about what happens if at one point the hadas is not good because it's missing leaves or because it has some other problem, some other defect, and then it rejuvenates itself, it fixes itself, something grows, or you do something to fix it, and is that okay? And the basis for this sugya that we're going to talk about here for the next, I don't know, 20 lines or so, and then we're going to take a small break and then get back into it again on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, is a concept in halacha called dichoy. When it comes to Hilchos Kudshim, this is something that comes up a lot. If something is qualified as a karban, and then it drops off the cliff, meaning it loses its qualification as a karban, some kind of psul arises. So, for example, the example that Tosos here talks about is where the mizbeach is kind of ready to accept karbanos, and then there's becomes a and you have a karban ready to bring, and then a psul arises in the mizbeach, so you can't bring the carbon for some period of time, and then it reawakens, the Mizbeach is ready again to accept the carbonos. Does the fact that you were frozen in time at some point, you couldn't bring your carbon for a period of time, make it a problem? The Gemara in Yuma also talks about by the Sar Lazazel and Sar Mishalech, you need both of them to be alive. So what happens if you have a Sar Lazazel, Sar Lashem, Sar Lazazel, one of them dies, and then you have to kind of bring a new set of Sar Lazazel, Sar Lashem. What's the stat? Which one do you bring? Does the first one still remain in play? Or do we say there's a dichoy problem here? Because at the time that its partner died, it now is out of play. And now you've introduced a new sire to replace the one that died. So maybe the old one will come back in play. Or maybe we say yesh dichoy, once it's down for the count, it can't be rejuvenated, and it's out. So by Kudshim, it's fairly, it's not simple, it's complicated there too, but at least there we have this very strong concept of dichoy, that once something's down for the count, it's out of commission, and you can't re-bring it back, But by the Sar Lazazel, Sar Lashem, it's more complicated because there are other considerations. Maybe that's not a real dichoy, but whatever it is. But by Kudshim, that's kind of the home territory of this concept of dichoy. And then from time to time, the Gemara, in various contexts, asks the question of yesh dichoy itzel mitzvos. This kachim concept of dichoy, that once it's down for the count, it's out of commission and it can't be rejuvenated, it can't be reawakened, is that true by mitzvos as well? And so that is relevant to here, where we're going to have a hadas that is, I guess, puzzle, and then you do something to make it kosher, does that bring it back in? And the complicating factor here, one of the kind of wrinkles in the whole discussion is, well, at what point did you bring it back into commission? Because if you think about it, every hadas was at one point puzzle, right? It was growing off the ground. It didn't have any leaves.
Right.
And then it grew leaves. And we don't say dichoy there because that was kind of its genesis. It was born into the mitzvah. And so perhaps dichoy only applies where it was good and then it became bad and then it became good again. And we're going to have to talk about also whether maybe it's dependent on whether the time for its mitzvah has come in. So if everything is taking place before Yontif, or before you even wrap it in its eged, before you grab it together as a lulav, it's all, and, you know, it goes through all stages of good, bad, but then maybe once Yontif starts, as long as it started Yontif good, then it's okay. Well, so we'll talk about all these different permutations about what's this idea of being down for the count and then being reawakened as kosher. So the Gemara says, Nechtam Rosho, it quotes from the Mishnah, which said that if the, what did it say? Nektam rosho nifritzu alav, oshayanav merubma alav pasul. There are all sorts of situations where this hadas is pasul. One of them is where the top got chopped off, right? You have to cut the bottom of the hadas. That's how you have the length that you have. But the top has to be the natural top of the hadas. You can't cut the top. What happens if the top cuts? If the top cuts off? And the answer is that it's pasul. But then the Gemara says, Tani Ula Bar Chinina, Nektam Rosho, if the top of the Hadas gets cut off, the also Bo Tamara, and then a little bud sprouts at the top that kind of covers up the part where you've cut it with the scissors, and it makes it look as if it's a natural growth of the Hadas. You've basically fixed the problem that it's artificially cut. And he says, Kosher. In that situation, it's kosher. So we're going to work with that now with the concept of Dichoy. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya asks, Nektam Rosho Me'erev Yom Tov. Let's say you cut the top of the Hadas before Yontif started. The also Bo Tamara B'Yom Tov. So it's now gone into Yontif. You lit your candles, you said Kiddush, and the thing is still cut at the top. But naturally, over the, you know, it was a Sukkot miracle, and over the first night of Sukkot, as you were sleeping, it started to grow a bud, and it kind of covered up the problem. And it now looks like you wake up Sukkot morning and miracle of miracles, it now looks like a good, intact hadas. So that's the situation he's talking about. Nektam rosho me'erev yom tov, you cut it off before yontif, the also bo tomorrow be yom tov, and over the course of yontif, that night while you're sleeping, it covers up the problem and now looks like a beautiful, natural hadas. Mahu.
So it's not considered to be nolad?
Is it not considered to be nolad? I don't know. We're not dealing with that here. It's a good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. Maybe to make it super easy for us, let's assume it's Chol Moed now. So we're not going to deal with Muktzah issues. But I'm sure there's an answer to that. I'm sure that we're going to talk about Noah. I don't know. But anyway, we're talking now about its essential halachic nature, its essential mitzvah nature. Is it kosher? So Mahu, Yesh Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos, Alo. Maybe the answer should be dependent on this question of Yesh Dichoy Yotzei Mitzvos. When Yontif started, this hadas was pasul. It was down for the count. It was out of commission. And then it got reawakened as a kosher hadas over the course of Yontif. And so if you say Yesh Dichoy Yotzei Mitzvos, perhaps, then this is a problem because it's hol v'nidcha nidcha. Once it's already out, down for the count, it's gone. But if you say Ein Dichoy Yotzei Mitzvos, so then we're not concerned about dichoy. That's a kachim concern, not a concern by mitzvos. And therefore, this hadas is back in play, and you can use it.
Is there a difference also if the object, you know, or like in the case of the mizbeach, it's not the animal that had a blemish.
Yeah.
You know, so it itself is good. It's just that it's a separate,
Yeah. So that's right. That's kind of comes into the simplest case, the cases that the Gemara deals with of dichoy are not the mizbeach kind of example. It's where there's a problem with the item, the cheftza of the mitzvah. So here the hadas is problematic. It was down for the count, and now it's been reawakened. Can it get back into the game? So that's the question here. Yesh dichoy etzel mitzvah solo. So the Gemara's first attempt is going to try to figure this out based on kislui hadam. Let's see the following. Let's figure out the problem from the following. We have a Mishnah in Chulin that says, Kisahu, so what's the halacha? The halacha is if you shecht a chaya or an oaf, you have to cover the blood with dirt. It's a special mitzvah of kisui adam. It's not true by a behemoth, but for a chaya and oaf that you shecht, there's blood on the ground now. You cover the with dirt, you make a bracha on it. And you have to cover the blood with dirt. That's the halacha of kisui adam. So kisahu, let's say you did that. You shecht the chaya, the blood falls on the ground. You covered it with dirt properly. You did what you were supposed to do. Viniskala, and now it gets uncovered. Pater, milchasos. You don't have to cover it again. Once you covered it, you've been yotzi the mitzvah, not a problem. However, kisahu aruach, let's say you do the Yishchita on a very windy day, and there's dirt nearby, and the blood falls on the ground, and then automatically it gets covered by the wind. The wind blows dirt over the blood, and it gets covered on its own. So the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, Chayev l'chasos. So there, you didn't do the kisui, and so therefore you have to cover it. V'amar, but the problem is it's already covered. So what's the story? What's this talking about? V'amar Abba Barachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, that's only true if it got uncovered, and so therefore now it's now revealed and ready for covering again. But if the wind didn't come and blow the dirt away again, so then it's gone. The mitzvah's gone. The dirt's been it's been covered with dirt already. You missed out on a mitzvah opportunity. You don't get to cover it now again with dirt. So this apparently is a situation where there was a period of time where the mitzvah was out of your reach. It was down for the count. It was out of commission because the dirt had been, if dirt had covered it, the wind had covered it with dirt automatically. So you're out. And yet, the mitzvah appears to get reawakened once the wind comes and pushes that dirt off again. You now are back in play with the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So the Gemara says, Vavinam ba, ki chazar v'niskala amai chaya v'chasos. In that case where the wind blows the dirt back off of it and your mitzvah is back in play, why should you be chayev to do kisui at this point? Ho'il v'itchi itchi. This seems to be a classic example of dichoy etzel mitzvos. The mitzvah was out of play because the dirt had been covered it on, the wind had covered it the dirt automatically. Now the mere fact that the wind comes and pushes that dirt off again shouldn't put you back in play for the mitzvah, because ho v'itchi itchi isn't this dichoy etzel mitzvos. V'yomer Rav Papa, and so Rav Papa concludes from this, zosomeris ein dichoy etzel mitzvos. This demonstrates that in fact we don't say dichoy etzel mitzvos, and just because the mitzvah was down for the count, out of commission, you can still get back in once the wind blows that dirt away again. That's Rav Papa's conclusion based on this. And so the Gemara is suggesting now, we kind of know from this the answer to our question that ein dichoy etzel mitzvos, that in this case where the our miracle hadas kind of was rejuvenated over the course of Yontif and grew a sprout and covered the problem, in this case you should be back in play. We don't say dichoy etzel mitzvos. We might say dichoy by kachim, but we don't say dichoy etzel mitzvos. You're back in play, and just like you're able to do the kisui adam again, so too you can use this hadas as a kosher hadas for the mitzvah of lulav. That sounds like a pretty good good answer. So the Gemara says, actually, Rav Pup, actually, we're not. Don't be so quick to apply Rav Papa's conclusion to the hadas, because the Rav Papa gufa. We're not so sure about what Rav Papa himself meant when he concluded that you should do when he said that the mitzvah remains in play by kisui adam even though it was down for the count at one point, because nifshat pashit le dein dichoy etzel mitzvos, Perhaps her papa actually held that ein dichoy etzal mitzvos, that the fact that you can do the kisui adam proves definitively that no matter how you look at it, ein dichoy etzal mitzvos, the mitzvah gets back in play, gets rejuvenated, it gets reawakened. O dilma, or perhaps maybe no, svuke mesafgale. Rav Papa wasn't sure whether fundamentally yesh dichoy etzal mitzvos and just l'chumra amrinan, l'kula lo amrinan. Maybe Rav Papa just was saying that we're not sure whether fundamentally yesh dichoy or ein dichoy, and so we'll always be careful. In the case of kislei adam, there was no downside to doing the kislei. Maybe he would say you don't do a bracha. Maybe he would say you don't make a bracha, because maybe that, you know, there's the downside. But to cover it with dirt, so in the best case scenario, if ein dichoy etzal mitzvos, so then you're mekayim the mitzvah of kisui adam. And even in the worst case scenario, where we say yesh dichoy etzal mitzvos, that once the mitzvah is gone, it's gone whole v'itchi itchi. So you've covered something with dirt. No harm, no foul. And so therefore, Rav Papa was concluding that at least l'chumra we would say ein dichoy Eitzel mitzvos, but maybe Rav Papa couldn't be extended to the case of the Hadas. Here, you need to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Arba Minim on Sukkos. So would Rav Papa be so quick to say that just because by the Kislei Adam you should cover it, would he be so quick to say that you should take this Hadas that reawakened on Yontif and use it as part of your Arba Minim? Maybe he would say, no, borrow your friend's Hadas, because in fact, we're just going with Chumra, and we're not sure whether yesh dichoy mitzvos, etzal mitzvos, and therefore we can't be sure, and therefore you can't be mild to the mitzvah of Arba Minim with this Hadas, and therefore the Gemara says, Teku, we're not sure, we can't prove one way or another based on this precedent of Kisui Adam, whether yesh dichoy etzal mitzvos. And that's, for a moment, the end of the discussion on this question of yesh dichoy etzal mitzvos.
Wouldn't they say here that maybe we could, it can't be chumra because then you're not being yotzei the mitzvah, and if you're being, maybe here we say dafka you are lekula b'sukkah, so you can use the hadas.
No, explain why.
And then we're saying by the case of hisur adam will be lechumra because what's the big deal? So you cover it again. You're not gonna
right.
Not harm me. You're actually doing the mitzvah.
You're doing so, it right.
It's easy to be a machmir. Just do it again.
Right.
But by sukkah, but by lulav, if he's gonna be a machmir and say it's not kosher, but then you're not gonna do the mitzvah. So therefore, maybe here we'd say. I won't be machmir like I am a kisui adam. Here I'll be mekil, so you can fulfill
it. Well, I would agree. If there's no hadas available, presumably Rav Papa would apply the same logic that he did by kisui and say, okay, use this hadas. Maybe don't make a bracha.
Yeah.
But I think we're talking about, can you use this hadas l'chatchila? You have other hadasim available. You have your friend's hadas. You go to shul, just borrow your friend's hadas. And so we would not necessarily say that you could. Meaning, whereas there he said, do the kisui adam. Here he's not going to say do this, use this hadas, because you need to be mekayim the mitzvah, and that right, and but presumably you're right. If there's no hadas available, this is the only hadas available, and fundamentally Rav Papa says it's a suffik as to whether yesh dichoy etzal mitzvos, so he would say use this hadas and presumably don't make a bracha, just like you presumably wouldn't make the bracha.
We don't know what it would say here or not. That's
right.
The idea.
We can't compare the two because we don't know whether he would definitively say you can rely on the Sadas. Correct. Okay. The Gemara now suggests, well, maybe this whole thing of yesh dichoy etzal mitzvos and whether this Hadas is down for the count is meaning whether the case of the Hadas that entered into Yontif Pasul and then got reawakened on Yontif is kosher, whether yesh dichoy or not, maybe it's the subject itself of a machlokas tanaim. Let's try to overlay this on another machlokas tanaim. So the Gemara says, lema katanaim. Maybe this is a machlokas tanaim. Avar viliktan pasul. So we've been talking about now a pasul hadas that gets reawakened because it grows something that covers the problem and now becomes kosher, right? There's a similar situation where it's kind of just the opposite, where you have lots of berries on the hadas, and that's a psul we saw in the Mishnah. Excuse me. However, you can pluck the berries off the hadas and bring it back into compliance. If there are not so many berries on the hadas, so then you're good. So let's say you try to do that. You have hadas with lots of berries, and now you pluck berries off in order to bring the hadas back into compliance, and now the hadas should be kosher. So That's the this I think Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, I think it is. That's what it says on the side. So let me continue. Avar v'luktan, you pluck off the berries, puzzle. It's puzzle. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. So apparently Rav Elazar ben Tzadok says you can't bring it back into compliance. Once you have too many berries, you're down for the count and it's no good. The Chachamim, Achshiram, and the Chachamim say no. By plucking off the berries, you can bring it into compliance and you're good. So that sounds like a Yesh Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvahs Machlokas. The Chachamim say Ein Dichoy, and therefore you can bring it back into compliance even though it was down for the count. And Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzadok says you can't. And the Gemara is going to set this up because immediately the Gemara kind of has a premonition that maybe this is a whole different other situation, a whole different other halachic thing that they're concerned about, not dichoy. Because fundamentally, there's a problem that's just more immediate by in the case of these hadasim. So the Gemara is going to first push that off so it can suggest that it's an issue of dichoy. So let's see. Savruha, we presumed, meaning when we suggested that this machlokes is a machlokes about dichoy, we presumed the kulei alma lulav ein sar cheged, that everyone agrees, meaning Rav Elazar, Rav Tzadok, and the Chacham both agree that lulav doesn't need to be bound. You could hold the lulav and hadasim and ravos in your hand, and that's good enough. You don't need one of those fancy woven weird things that we have that holds it together, right? Vimtim sulam ar tzar cheged, and even if you hold that it needs one of those weird things that holds it together, lo yalfinan lulav misukkah. You don't learn the halacha of lulav from sukkah. By sukkah, it says, dechsiv batase, it says, right, tase by sukkah, and that's the famous drasha of tase v'lomina asui, that your sukkah has to be constructed bottom up. You can't kind of have the schach and then build the, or you can't have puzzle schach and then make it kosher after it's already built. It's got to be built in order, right? That's the whole idea of tase v'lomina asui. And so therefore, my love, my lav b'haka miflege, back to what we're suggesting, and presumably this is what the machlokes is going on between Rav Elazar, Rav Tzadok, and Chachamim. Demand the pasul, the Rav Elazar, Rav Tzadok, who says it's pasul, savar, amrin, and yesh dichoy. As we suggested, he suggests that yesh dichoy, eitzel mitzvos, and therefore, if the mitzvah was, if these hadasim were down for the count because they had berries on it, you can't reawaken them, they're gone. And the Chachamim said that it's kosher, savar lo amrin on yesh dichoy eitzel mitzvos. He held that we don't hold of yesh dichoy, and therefore you can reawaken the mitzvah, you can bring it into compliance by plucking the berries. That was that simple explanation of what we're trying to suggest. So Gemara says, no. Well, dekulei alma lo amrin on yesh dichoy eitzel mitzvos. You could understand this machlokes even assuming that everyone agrees yesh dichoy eitzel mitzvos, and you can never bring a mitzvah that's been pushed out back into compliance. But what are they arguing about here? V'hacha b'melaf sukkah, I'm sorry, v'hacha b'melaf lulav, I'm sorry?
La amrinan. They don't say.
Koyim lo amrinan. Oh, I said it the wrong way. Okay. Yeah. Everyone says, presumably, that you don't say yesh dichoy eitzel mitzvos. In fact, fundamentally, they'd all be okay with the mechanism of plucking the berries and bringing it back into compliance. What? Why then does someone say puzzle? Here they're arguing about the issue of whether the concept of tasev lomen asai applies not only by sukkah, but it's learned over to lulav as well. Mar savar yalfinon lulav me sukkah, umar savar lo yalfinon lulav me sukkah. One holds that you learn tasev lomen asai from sukkah to lulav, so that a lulav also has to be constructed from kosher materials and it has to be kind of brought together and bound together so that at the moment you bind it together, it's kosher, and you can't bind it together and then afterwards fix things and make it kosher because then you haven't bound together a kosher set of arba minim. And one says that that's not an issue, right? One says you learn from sukkah that when you, at the moment you construct your, just like at the moment you construct your sukkah, it's got to be all kosher materials, tasev lomen asoy, so too at the moment you bind your lulav together, it's got to be all based on kosher materials, and if you bound together kosher and not kosher materials, you can't afterwards pluck things and make it kosher after the fact. That's the machlokes of whether or not you say that, right? Whether you say tasev lomen asoy by lulav. Viva, yisema, alternatively, you could say a different thing. Yisfiro, is saying, Yisfiro on Luv Tzarech Egad, that they're really arguing about whether Luv requires binding. Everyone would agree that if, in fact, the Luv required binding, you'd have to bind it together with kosher materials from the start. V'achab, and what they're arguing about is whether fundamentally you need it to be bound at all. V'achab Luv Tzarech Egad Kemifligei. And they're arguing based on the following Machlokes Tanaim, which addresses the question of Luv Tzarech Egad, does Luv need to be bound together? Ditanya, we have a brisa that says, Luv bein agud bein she'eino agud kasher. The Tanakhama says, Luv doesn't need to be bound, you could hold the Adas and Maravos Luv together and that's good enough. Rav Yehuda Omer agud kasher she'eino agud pasur. Rav Yehuda says, no, it needs to be agud, you need to buy one of those holders. It needs to be bound together, or at least you need to tie it together with something. It needs to be bound together. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say it needs to be bound? Rabbi Yehuda learns it from the story of, right, the time of the Karban Pesach, the first Karban Pesach back in the time of Mitzrayim. The Jews were commanded to take a agudas ezov, a bunch of myrtle branches that are tied together, agudas ezov, and dip it in blood and put it on the mashkov. So ksiv hacha ulkachtem lachem biyom arishon. It says here in the context of sukkah of luv and esrog, it says ulkachtem, you should take uksiv hasam, and also by the agudas ezov by the mezuzah in Mitzrayim, it says ulkachtem agudas ezov, you should take agudas ezov. Ma lahalan, since they both use the word ulkachtem, it's a gzer shava. Ma lahalan aguda afkan aguda, just like there by Pesach Mitzrayim, it has to be bound together because it says Aguda Sezov. So too here, where it also says Ulkachtem, it's got to be bound together, and the it's got to be bound together. V'rabbanan leslehu l'kicha l'kicha. And the Rabbanan don't learn this because they're shava of l'kicha l'kicha. So the point is that they're arguing fundamentally about whether it needs to be bound. If it needs to be bound, then perhaps you'd apply Tasev l'menasoi, that just like a sukkah has to be made from kosher materials from the ground up, and you got to build it in order, and you can't make it kosher after the fact, because that's tasev l'menasoi. So too this, where you have to construct a lulav by binding it, it's got to be constructed from the ground up with kosher materials, and you can't fix a material after the fact based on tasev l'menasoi. Perhaps that would be true. But here, they're arguing, the Rav Elazar wrote Tzadok, and the Chachamim are arguing about whether you need to do a building of a lulav. Maybe a lulav is just you take these disparate elements, you hold them in your hand together, and there's no concept of building them together and binding them into one unit. And if that's the case, there's no concept of building them together and binding them into one unit, so then you don't even have to think about whether tasev loman asli applies to lulav, because there's nothing that you're tasev. Right, you're not building something, and so that's what they're arguing about. But the point is that whether you hold they're arguing about tasev l'men asoi and whether it applies to luv, or whether or not you're holding that they're arguing about whether luv tzarech egud, and therefore whether fundamentally you'd even be in the parsha of tasev l'men asoi, what these two suggestions are making is that they're certainly not arguing about, or very possibly not arguing about whether yesh dichui eitz al mitzvos, and so therefore this is not a proof one way or another. We can't say that the issue of yesh dichui eitz al mitzvos is a machlokes tanaim that overlays on this machlokes. It's just they're talking about something completely separate altogether. They're talking about whether tasev l'men asli applies to luv or whether luv tzarech egud. Fine. There's just to finish up that last point. We say man tana l'hadutan rabbanon. Who is the author of the following braisa? Luv mitzvah l'agdo, vim lo agdo kasher. So now we seem to have a kind of a cryptic statement that kind of tries to straddle both opinions. It says luv is a mitzvah to bind it together, but if you didn't bind it together, it's still kosher. So Gemara is confused. Money, who wrote that? E Rabbi Yehuda. So ki lo agdo amai kasher. If you want to say Rabbi Yehuda was the author of that Mishnah, of that Braisa, so then why would it be kosher b'dievet? Rabbi Yehuda was the one who insisted that luv tzarech egad, it's got to be bound together. I Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan, my mitzvah ka'avid. the Rabbanan said you don't need a lulav doesn't need to be bound. So why would it say here lulav mitzvah lag, though, that it's a nice thing, that it's a mitzvah to bind it together? Meaning, it's a binary choice. Either lulav tzarech eged, and there's a concept of eged by lulav, or there's no concept of eged by lulav. What's this idea of it's a mitzvah to do it, but if you didn't do it, it's still kosher? So the Gemara answer is the olam Rabbanan. Really, this is the Rabbanan who wrote this, and so therefore, they really hold it doesn't need eged. And yet, in mitzvah, mishum zekeli vanveyu, it's still a mitzvah because of zekeli vanveyu. This is actually how we paskin. Mitzvah, lulav ein tzarech eged. Really, if you went to shul and you had lost that holder and you just hold your lulav and hadas meravos together, that would work because lulav ein tzarech eged. But we consider it a hidur. It's nicer to have it all bound together, and that's based on the concept of zekeli vanveyu, where we always try to be mahader to make nice mitzvos. Okay. So now the Gemara says, now a little break from Dichle, and then we're going to get back into it. Oshayu anavav merubim. So we said, we had alluded to this before, if you have berries on your hadas, so then you could pluck them off to make it kosher, bring it back into compliance. When you can do that and whether you can do that on Yantif, we're going to continue to talk about. But at least the idea, certainly, what we're saying is that the Mishnah is clearly saying, if this is before Yontif, right, you're at the Lulav and Esrog sale downstairs, and you find Hadassim that have berries on it, our Mishnah said you could fix them by plucking off the berries. We're not in the Parsha yet of, it's not Yontif yet, you haven't bound them together yet, you haven't started Yontif yet, it's way before anything. So there, certainly, you could prepare this. You're not going to say Yesh Dichle Eitzel Mitzvahs in that context, because we haven't even gotten into Sukkot yet, right? It's a week before Sukkot. So you could take off those berries in that case. So Amr of Chista, Davar Zeh, Rabbeinu Agado Amro, V'amakom Yehiyya Be'ezro. He says, I have a Mesora that Rabbeinu Agado said this thing. Rashi says Rabbeinu Agado in this context is referring to Rav. The Hagos Habach tries to say, what do you mean? Rabbeinu Agado usually means Rebbe. Rebbe is Rabbeinu Agado, right? So the Bach says that sometimes when the Gemara says Rabbeinu Agado, it's referring to Rav. Sometimes it's referring to Rebbe here or whatever. Some places sometimes the statement doesn't hold up to the possibility that it was Rav or Rebbe, and you got to go with the other one. Meaning, because if we have it on record that Rebbe said the opposite thing elsewhere, so then we know it's Rav, vice versa. But the point is that it's a phrase that could be used for either of them. But in this case, Rashi says it's Rav. And what did he say? Lo shanu el b'makom echad. This is true only, again, this idea of we're saying puzzle. I'm sorry, we weren't talking about fixing it now. We're talking about the puzzle. Well, the Mishnah said that if you have a lot of berries on it, it's puzzle, right? Maybe you could fix it, maybe you can't, but whatever. I mean, you can. But the point is, before you fix it, it's puzzle. When is it puzzle? Well, shanu v'makom echad. That's only if there are a lot of berries concentrated in one area. That's where it's puzzle. Aval b'shnayim u'shloshim makom is kosher. But if the berries are scattered around and kind of diluted through the hadas, then it's okay. So amrle rava, or amr rava, shnayim u'shloshim makomos have a menumar u'puzzle. Rava says, that doesn't seem to be true. If it's scattered through and you have these like red berries scattered through, then it's like a leopard. It's like a spotted hadas. Whoever heard of a spotted hadas? A hadas is supposed to be green. So therefore, it's puzzle. El iatmar hachi etmar. So that rejects kind of our first understanding of what Rebbe said, of what Rav said, of what Rabbeinu Agadol said, that it is okay if it's spread throughout. Because here we're seeming to say that if it's spread throughout, it's like a spotted hadas, it's no good. So we're going to re-understand or reinterpret or restate Rav's statement. El yitmar hachi yitmar. O shahu anavav merubim me'alav pasul. If there were more berries than leaves, then it's pasul. Amar av chista, davar zer rabbeinu agado amro v'amakom yeh be'ezro. The following Rav state said, lo shanu el anavav shechoros. That's only true if the berries are black. But if there are green berries, that's not so bad because they look like the hadas v'kasher, and then there'll be kasher. Amra papa adumos kishchoros. Abai then chimes in and says, not only blackberries are problematic, but also red berries are problematic. Adumos kishchoros damyan. Red is similar to black, and we know that in a completely, completely different context. Damar av chenina, hay dam shachar adam hu el shalaka. When it comes to ilchos nida, a black stain has the same halachic status as a red stain, because when blood dries, it becomes black. When it becomes deoxygenated, right? Then it becomes black. And so the ksamim, the stains, have the same status. So he's borrowing that halacha from Hilchos Nida and applying it here too, that red and black berries are both problematic. Green berries are the ones that are not problematic. And that's the end of that discussion. Now we're going to jump back into our dichoy discussion. And here we're talking about not a situation where it grew a thing that covered up the cut to bring it back into play. But now we're talking about pulling off the berries. When did you pull off the berries to bring it back into play? Remember, again, we said berries are problematic, but maybe you could pluck the berries off. The Mishnah said you could pluck the berries off, and it's kosher. So when did you pluck these berries off? Dimiatinu emas. Ilema mak medula agde. If you plucked the berries when you were at this lulav and esrog sale downstairs before you even bound them up in the lulav when they were just sitting on the table, so then pshita. Of course that's not a problem. That's no different than the fact that these hadasim were once, you know, they just grew out of the ground. They were once not kosher in the sense they didn't have any leaves, and now they have leaves. So too, you can manipulate these hadasim in any way you want to bring them into a kosher status before you even bind them into a lulav. That's free game. So that's pshita. So it must be, if the Mishnah is trying to say a chiddush and teach you an actual halacha that's relevant, el lebasar de la'agde, maybe it's talking about where you pluck them after you bound them already into an igud, after you bound them already into with a luav. So then, dichoy meikarahu. That sounds like you entered into yantif, or even you entered into the mitzvah of lulav in this context by binding them when they were pasul, and then you brought it into compliance. So it was never a kosher stage. There was never a stage where there was a kind of like in a mitzvah context where it was kosher, and then it became pasul, and then it became kosher again. Rather, you bound them as pasul, and then you fix them and make it kosher. That's dichoy meikara. Let's just take a break for a second. In all the discussions about dichoy, the Gemara will distinguish between dichoy meikara and dichoy lubasof. What is it? Mehashta. Dichoy meikara or dichoy, what's the other phrase? Hold on 1 second. I'm not sure. Okay, maybe it's hashta. But okay, dichoy meikara means... the opposite is nira v'nidcha. Okay, so it's either dichoy meikara or nira v'nidcha. Dichoy meikara means that you started always with it pasul, and then you awakened it, you brought it into compliance and made it kosher. That's going to be easier for us to believe that it's kosher, right? It's less likely that we're going to say that's problematic than the other one, which I keep on forgetting, than nira v'nidcha. Nira v'nidcha is much more problematic. Nira v'nidcha means that this was a kosher thing that you were able to fulfill the mitzvah with, and then it fell out of compliance, and then you're going to try to bring it back. That's much more problematic. If it was good and then it was bad, it lost its kosher status, it's much more problematic to bring it back into compliance.
No, so when you have the schach sitting there and you add the walls around it, which one did that form?
Well, 1 second, don't confuse the dichoy with tasa v'lmen asui. They're different. That's a din in the construction of the sukkah. They're similar, so we can get into the whole conversation, but I don't want to get confused. So, but let's keep with the berries, right? So dichoy meikara will mean that these berries were always pasul, and now you've brought them into compliance and they're kosher, and you could immediately shake your lulav and you're good. That's dichoy meikara. If that works, then that might work. that might work even if you say that Nira Venidcha doesn't work. So let's say you enter a Sukkos and it's a kosher lulav, and then something happens, then you know it gets chopped off and then it grows back the thing. So that's Nira Venidcha. That's going to be even more of a chiddush to say that that's okay. Because it was once good, then it fell out of compliance on Sukkos. Now to bring it back into compliance on Sukkos, that's more of a chiddush to say. So again, back in the Gemara now, we're going to say, when did you get rid of these berries that were problematic? If you did it at the very beginning, before it was Sukkos altogether, before you even put it into a, before you even bound it, then pshita, of course you could do that, because you're allowed to bring something into compliance and then use it as the mitzvah. Elul abaser de la agde. Rather, let's presume for a moment that you bound it first in the lulav. We're not thinking yet about whether it's yontif yet, but you bound it in the lulav. Presumably you did this on Erev Yontif. Dichui meikarahu. So then that's a case of dichui meikara, because at the time you bound it in the lulav, it was pasul. So it was never really in a kosher usable state. And now you plucked the berries and you brought it to compliance while it's bound in the lulav. So tifshut mina, presumably let's determine from that dichui meikara lo have dichui. That seems to say that if something was never in compliance, it was always pasul, and now you bring it into compliance, that's kosher, and then you're good. We've now attempted to, or maybe even succeeded in solving part of the problem for Maman Aleph. Maybe dichui meikara. Maybe at least in a situation where it was never in compliance and now you bring it into compliance, maybe that's okay. So the Gemara says, no, don't be so quick, because li'olam basar da'agde. Maybe this was even after you bound it. V'kasavar eged hazmana ba'almahu, v'hazmana ba'almo lav klumhu. Maybe there's no significance at all to Eged, because that's just getting it ready for the mitzvah, but it's not yet in the mitzvah, because it's not yet Yontif. And so maybe when we say here in Miatan Kasher that it's kosher because you've plucked the berries, maybe that doesn't prove anything about real Dichui. Because real Dichui is only once the mitzvah's in play, and it entered into play puzzle, and now you've brought it into compliance once it's in play. But here, you haven't really done anything yet. It's still Erev Yontif. And even if you've bound it together, binding it together isn't significant Erev Yontif. It's only significant on Yontif. And so this mitzvah is still not in play. You're not chayev in the mitzvah yet. And you've plucked the berries now. But that's maybe just the same as doing it before you even put it into the eged, because eged is not significant in its own right. And we would only draw an inference about dichui if the Mishnah told us explicitly that you could do it on Yontif itself. That would tell us something about dichui. But if all the Mishnah is teaching you is that you could pluck berries to bring it into compliance before the mitzvah has ever started, that's not telling us anything about dichui. We can't draw any conclusions. That's now going to lead to the next point. The Gemara then says, "V'ein mamatin biyomtov." Right, the next part of the Mishnah said, you can't do this on Yontif. Now, we're going to see in a few minutes that the reason you can't pluck berries on Yontif is a malacha problem, right? But the point is, the Gemara is going to draw an inference and says, you can't pluck berries on Yontif because of malacha problem, ha'avar v'luktan, but if you did pluck the berries on Yontif, my, what would be their status? Kosher. Then they would be kosher. Now we're talking. Now we can get into a conversation of dichui, because this seems to be a situation where we've entered Yontif, and now on Yontif you bring it into compliance. That sounds like dichui. That sounds like dichui meikara. And maybe this is going to be our solution to our problem about dichui. So the Gemara is going to analyze that a little bit. Da ashkar emas. When did these berries become black? Because we remember we said before, green berries aren't the problem. Blackberries are the problem. If in fact these berries became black before Yontif, then everything's lined up perfectly for us. If that's the case, then dichui meikarahu. Then maybe this is a case of dichui meikara. They were black before Yontif. You put them in, you bound them up. Now Yontif starts and they're out of compliance because they have a thing filled with berries. Now on Yontif, you pluck them. You shouldn't have done that, but the implication is that if you did it, you make it kosher. This sounds like a proof that dichui meikara lo have dichui. That if you pluck them on Yontif, you could bring it into compliance, and something that was never in compliance as Yontif started, you can now bring into compliance and awaken as a mitzvah. So Tifshul Mina, you can prove from that that Dichui made Kara, Dilo have a Dichui, it's not a problem. So the Gemara now suggests, okay, maybe not. Elolav, maybe perhaps the Ashkor Biyom Tov. Maybe these berries became black on Yontif. So maybe, in fact, we can go even a step further and say this isn't even a Dichui Meikara. This is a Nirev Nitcha case because you entered Yontif and this was a kosher Adas. It was green berries. And then they became black on Yontif. They became pasul on Yontif. And now you pluck them on Yontif and bring them back into compliance. Maybe we can go even all the way. We go all 9 yards and say, maybe this proves that ein dichoy etzel mitzvos altogether, not just in the limited case of dichoy meikara, where something was never in compliance, now you're bringing into compliance on Yontif. Maybe even in the extreme case of nira venitche, where it was in compliance as Yontif started, it fell out of compliance because the berries turned black, and now you pluck the berries and you bring it back into compliance. Maybe that proves ein dichoy etzel mitzvos, and we can contrast this entirely from Kachim and say there's no concept at all of Dichlei. So then Nira V'nitchehu, that's a case of Nira V'nitcheh, as we just said, Shmas Mina Nira V'nitcheh Chozer V'nira. And in fact, here you can prove the whole 9 yards that Nira V'nitcheh, that where it was good, bad, good, that's also good. So the Gemara says, Lo, we olam da'ashkar me'akar. There's no proof, there's nothing compelling us to say that they turned black on Yontif, that this is a Nira V'nitcheh case. Maybe it's just, hold your horses, don't get so excited. Maybe this is just a Dichoy Meikara case. Leolam Da'ashkar Meikara, they were black from Erev Yontif already. Dichoy Meikara, Dulo Havei Dichoy, Tifshot Mina. And therefore, all you can prove from here is Dichoy Meikara. But we at least got there. On Amud Aleph, we left it as a teiku as to whether we can say Dichoy, Yesh Dichoy. So here we've at least proven that Dichoy Meikara, Lo Havei Dichoy, Eitzel mitzvos, that if something entered Yontif, puzzle, you brought it into compliance on Yontif, that is okay, based on the implication from our Mishnah. Aval nira v'nitcha, chozer v'nira, lo tifshot. You can't prove from this narrow, necessarily that nira v'nitcha, chozer v'nira, lo tifshot, but you can't prove that in the case where it was good, then bad, then good, then that's okay. Okay. It's 10:03, but should we try to just run to the Mishnah? Tanu Rabbanan in mematin biyom tov. Okay, so now we're getting now. What was the malacha problem here? Right, the Mishnah said you shouldn't pluck these berries on Yontif. Why not? Right, in mematin biyom tov. Mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Mishuman Amru mematin. So this seems to actually be a subject of malachogas. Maybe you can, or some people say you can, pluck the berries on Yontif. Gemara says, why should that be permissible? V'hakam misakin mana biyom tov. You are changing the halachic status, you're bringing something out of compliance into compliance on Yontif. That's a problem of misakin mana, right? Generally speaking, on Shabbos Yontif, you're not allowed to change something's halachic status. It's similar to building something, to misakin kli, whatever it is. You can't do it. You can't bring something out of compliance into compliance on Yontif. So here, why would Rav Elazar Rav Shimon say that you are allowed to pluck these berries on Yontif? Amar of Ashi kigon shulaktan la'achila. The answer is you weren't doing it for the purpose of making this a kosher adas. You were doing it because you were hungry and you wanted to eat the berries. I don't know if these are edible, but that's a separate problem. But the point is you plucked them to eat. Rav Lozer Rav Shimon savar la kavua. Rav Lozer Rav Shimon holds like his father Rav Shimon, who famously holds damar davar shein miskavein mutter. Rav Shimon says that if you do something like drag a bench in a backyard, and it causes a charetz to happen, you didn't intend to make the hole. It was accidental. It was a byproduct of your real intent of moving the bench, and therefore it's mutter. What's the big problem here? The big exception to davar sheino miskavein mutter is a psik resha. If your action is definitely going to cause this to happen, then it's usser, even according to Rav Shimon. And what's going on here? Here you are plucking berries to eat them. Now, it's a davar sheino miskavein in the sense that I didn't intend to make this hadas mutter, but it's definitely happening. If I pluck the berries, there's no chance that this hadas is not going to willy-nilly become, that was like a pun, willy-nilly. that's not going to become kosher. So what's the story? So how can you say that? Kavara abayv rava damri tavara moder of shum sikreshav lo yamas. Right? If it's definitely going to happen, then it should be usher. So the right answer is with a very difficult answer, a puzzling answer. Hachamai skin and isle hoshana chrita. You have other hoshanos. So you don't need these hoshanos. Right? And so therefore, you were eating these berries, and it's true you made these hoshanas mutter by doing so, and there's no choice but for them to become mutter, but because you had other hoshanos, that's not a psikresha. I'm not sure how that really works, because it is a psik resha, right? Those hoshanas are mutter. So the Rishonim talk about how maybe this is proof that a psik resha d'lo nichale is mutter. This is a psik resha where you don't really care about the outcome. And so that's a whole other topic, but this is a fascinating answer to say that that's going to be your answer. Because you have other hoshanas, you're not necessarily gaining from the fact that you made these hoshanas kosher. That's why it's okay. Okay, just we'll run to the end. Tanur Rabbanan, Hutar Ogdo Biyom Tov Ogdo Kaguda Shel Yerek. Let's say it gets untied on Yontif, you can tie it up. Vamayli Anve Me'anev. Isn't that a problem of tying it? You're not allowed to make a knot on Shabbos or Yontif, so how can you tie up this thing? So we answer, Amani Rabbi Yehudahi, Amar Aniva Kshira Malaisehi. Did I say it the wrong way? Hold on a second. Tanur Mahuter Ogdo Biontov Ogdo Kaguda Shel Yerek. I'm sorry. Ogdo Kaguda, do it in a way that's not a real tie. The Gemara says, Vamayli Anve Me'anev. Why not just do it in a bow, which wouldn't be a problem of Kshira? The Gemara says, how many Rabbi Yehuda Yidomer Aniva Kshira Malaisi? So we're saying, no, it's Rabbi Yehuda. We're within Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said you can't even make a bow on Shabbos, and that's why you can't make a bow here. Yid Rabbi Yehuda, Eged Malaisa Ba'i, you need a real... If it's Rabbi Yehuda, so then how are you going to get away with an Aguda Shoyarek with a very haphazard kind of Eged? Isn't Rabbi Yehuda the one who said that Tzarech Igud? You need a strong one. So Granzer's Haitana Savral Kavase Bhada Pagoy Bhada. It's true that Rabbi Yehuda himself said you need a strong tie. When we're saying here that Rabbi Yehuda, within Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, says you can't do aniva on Shabbos, and therefore you should do a weak tie, that's a different opinion who didn't hold that Rabbi Yehuda held that you need a strong tie. I didn't say that very well. Rabbi Yehuda says that Lulav Tzarech Eged. But not everyone understood Rabbi Yehuda to say Luv Tzarech Eged. So the opinion here who said that you should tie it with a loose tie, an Aguda Shoyarek, was the opinion that didn't hold that Rabbi Yehuda held the Luv Tzarech Eged, and that's why he's, within Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, is saying you could do it based on a loose tie.
How to understand
Rabbi Yehuda. It's about how to understand Rabbi Yehuda, about what Rabbi Yehuda held. That's right.
Okay.
Okay.